Do you listen to Week Radio? It's the best online radio with all-round gospel content, and it's live 24/7. Gospel of entrepreneurship, Achievers Airplane, Happy Hour, Kingdom Mandate, Praise and Passion. Let's talk about it. Morning Drive, Morning Gist, and lots more. On www.wigradio.com. Wig Radio. Our programs are set to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. You can call into our programs on +234 816 444 5960 and interact with us via twitter.com/wigradio or facebook.com/wigradio. Download Wig Radio mobile app for Android, BlackBerry, and Apple devices from different stores online. Wig Radio, reaching the world with good news, transforming lives globally.
You have captured my heart, touching my heart with your love. Lift your hands and sing it to him with reverence. Lord, you have captured my heart, my heart with your love. Lift your voice, lift your hands, and let's worship him. Lord, you have captured my heart. Let it be a declaration from the depth of your heart. Lord, you have captured my heart. Consume my heart with your love. And if all I say,
if all I say is Jesus, 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 that's more than
the King, there is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Very simple song for young people this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King, There is no other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
They'll help you see.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is no other. Yes, Lord.
That I want you to learn, very powerful song. It says hallelujah. It comes from two words: halal Yeshua, praise the Lord, the maker of miracles. It is a language you only use when it's time for victory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are God.
Try it.
Hallelujah, 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 you are God.
Sing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We praise the maker of all good things, the giver of praise and life and power.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, you are the King, there is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, that's the language of a generation. Yes, yes to everything that you will do. Yes to miracles. Yes to signs. Yes to wonders. Yes to the move of the Spirit.
Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Oh, yes. We'll obey
the anthem of our generation.
Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your way. Oh, yes, Lord. We'll obey.
Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your way. Oh, oh, yes, Lord. Let the name of the Lord be glorified in the name of Jesus. Blessings to you. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Now, you see, precious people of God, something is happening to you in this conference that you may not realize. When you step out, like the brother shared, that gentleman, it was you. You step out of this place and all of a sudden you will find out that you are hosting a higher and a greater dimension of God's power. Hallelujah. Two scriptures this morning, I will challenge us and then we'll pray. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32. The Lord is granting us to discern times, to discern seasons, and to know how to respond accordingly. One of the advantages that we enjoy in the kingdom is the access by the Spirit to know the speakings of God for a moment, for a season, and then to be able to go ahead
of carnal and natural men. It's the advantage of the spiritual man. Capacity to hear what the Spirit is saying. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Will it be projected? Otherwise, let me turn my Bible. If it's possible, then you can help us, media. Otherwise, just turn there. Okay, fine. Verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Read with me, please. It should be at the screen close to you. One, two, read. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that understood. Different versions. You can't believe I'm reading from my mind. I'm looking at it, but I'm reading a version. No wonder my version was different from yours. It says, which were men that had understanding of the times. Two things. One, to understand the times, then to know what to do about that time. The Bible talks about people which knew not their visitation. Remember our teaching yesterday, how that Jacob was in an atmosphere. He didn't discern the season, he didn't discern the time. It is important for us to know that God is constant, but times change. You must understand this. Times change. Are we together? God is constant, but he changes times and seasons. And for every change in time and season, like the sons of Issachar, we must sustain an ability in the spirit to understand what he is doing in the now. So having the understanding of what God is doing now, times change. People can change. Times there doesn't just mean morning and evening. It also means dispensations. Everybody says dispensations. That means that the way things were done in the 18th century, 17th century may not be the way things are done now. But it doesn't mean God is not the one moving. Discerning of times. I'm helping us to be relevant in today's world. The Bible says the sons of Issachar, there was a way things were done, but they discerned as a tribe that times had changed. God remaining constant, but that seasons have changed, and they were able to dance to it. And when I talk of change, I'm not just talking of technology. That things also shift in the realm of the spirit. Things also shift sociologically. Are we together? Don't just look at it in the area of science and tech alone. Most people are aware of the changes in the world just within the realm of science and technology. And they stop there. Many things have changed spiritually. Did you know that there are sicknesses and diseases now that you don't find in the Bible? There has been that level of civilization even from the dark world. That you may never read scripture and find certain sicknesses. As at the time the Bible was written, the devil had not sustained that level of transition and invention. So the dark world is also growing because everything that is alive grows. Are we together? So we must sustain how to approach life and to deal with the issues that are around us even in this season. The second scripture we are going to look at, and then I begin to teach, is Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. Very powerful scripture. This scripture has blessed me as a person and as a minister. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please read with me. The A part is really my emphasis. Let's read. One, to read. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Stop. If we can get this in Amplified or any other version. The Bible says he served the purposes of God in his generation. It's not enough to serve God. You must serve God in a way that makes you relevant to your generation. Are we together? The Bible says, for David, after he had what? Served the purposes of God. So the purposes of God remain eternal, but the system of serving it must be done in a way and a manner that you don't lose touch with a generation while serving God. Now listen to me. Many well-meaning people may never be relevant in today's world. Using, knowing how to use an Android device and social media is not the only way to be compliant with this generation. Many people understand the transitions that have happened in the area of science and tech, and so they can, I mean, you can see our little children flip phones and do a lot of things. They can tell you a fake and a real gadget. And we believe that the more IT compliant you are, that is all it takes to fit in a generation. That's a rude shock. A rude shock. The transition first starts spiritually, and then there is a sociological shift that must happen to our understanding. Are we blessed? It says, for David, after he had served the purposes of God, but he didn't serve it in a generation before him, he served it in his generation. Let me tell you something, with all due respect and honor, if I go to Redemption Camp and I preach a powerful message, did you know that most of our older people, they will be so blessed by my life, but it will be clear I was not sent to that generation. They will be impressed, not by the miracles, that a young man is finding God early. That's going to be the point of joy. Are we together? Even if I carry a head that is on the ground and fix it back, it's not enough to have them invite me and say, wow, come again. Are we together? There is a generation allocated for your impact. Your first assignment is to not dream that you are alive to touch everybody. The revelation of your relevance starts when you can define the generation allocated for your impact and pay the price to grow with that generation. Listen carefully. Most people think success is just whoever God wants to bless, he will bless. Success has a system. Our father in the Lord, Papa E. Adeboye, grew with a generation. Once upon a time, he was a young man, and all the young people who knew him respected the voice of God upon his life. Now they are old, and they are old together. So no matter how prophetic I am, our mother, a mother somewhere, would feel more comfortable sitting with Papa E. Adeboye to say, what is God saying? Even if I say, Mama, your name is Mary, the name of your child is John, say, wow, what a young man. Let me go. I want to see somebody for direction first. Not because I am fake. Every blessing she gets from my life is an added advantage, but it is not the core jurisdiction of my impact. Now, many people have not defined the generation they were sent to. There are many young pastors within the age of maybe 20 to 40 who are looking for rich members who are 60 to 70. How long will those people live? And so we are ashamed to grow with the young people because we think they'll say you are children's church. You've forgotten that the father today was the boy of yesterday. So the patience to grow with the generation until you become a face that represents a dimension. Remember we said yesterday, those who are influencing the world today were people who stayed with a generation patiently until they branded a dimension of God through their lives to that generation. Is God speaking to us this morning? Your relevance for the next 20, 30 years doesn't just depend on your being born again. It depends on your defining the generation and then begin to carve out a message through your experience and stay there with discipline until a generation knows you to define a dimension of God. I ask many pastors, what did God call you to do? And they say to preach the gospel. I say, no, that's not your assignment. That's the Great Commission. It was given to everyone. He said, go ye. He didn't call the name of any man. Go ye. If all you can tell a generation is, I'm here to make sure I win you to Christ, you are in you will lose touch with relevance. Is God speaking to us? Have you noticed that there are some of our fathers, whether in business or whatever, it looks like there is an unbending loyalty of their generation to them, sometimes to a fault. And you are saying, you mean with this mic, I sang, I jumped, and you see the parents just waving. Once you raise one hot, fiery Yoruba song, you see them kneel down and worship. And the young man is saying, ah, what is all this? It's not your generation. They grew, listen. There was that song did something to them when they were 20 years. So when they sing it, it blesses them. And David, please give us that scripture again. Sit down. We have a little journey this morning wherever we stop. And David, after he had served the purposes of God, but while serving God, he realized that every assignment is to a generation. When Jesus came, he met an agrarian economy. So the context of his communication, even his parables, related to the understanding of that generation. Are we together? Do you understand the generation you are sent to? Many people think being youthful and complying to a generation, and I mean no sense of sarcasm, is just wearing jeans, pulling it down to make sure you are yuppie. No, sir. I have proven it again that you don't have to be disorderly to be youthful. Are we together? So let me balance it up front so that there is, all of us are understanding the same thing. Many people have compromised on everything. They think for young people to listen to you, you have to look like a fool. No, young people are just young. They are not stupid. You don't have to be shabby, careless, disorderliness. All around your life you are unruly, no respect, no articulateness, no sense of composure. And then you say, no. There are people who are determined not to listen to those kinds of people. Are we together? You don't influence a generation that way. You don't become a model enough for people to recommend you under such kinds of conditions of chaos. It takes more than your message to influence people. They look at your life and make sure that it matches your convictions. Otherwise, you may be worthy of listening to, but not submitting to. There are people, the best way to receive them is to just hear them and not see them. You can receive the message, but you don't need to see, because the carriage discourages the message. Are we blessed? And David served his generation. Served his generation. A generation is a generation of intelligence. This is the generation where someone can sue a man of God, his pastor, for preaching something he believed is not proper. Generations past, they just say, well, God forgive you, I will intercede for you. Our parents interceded for people in error. Our generation sues the people in error for misleading me and insulting my pedigree. Let's go to court, regardless of the color you are wearing. You see the kind of generation we are relating to? Once upon a time, you can hold a track and talk to someone. Now, you stand close to a lady, maybe someone's wife, because at that time, family life had very, very defined values. You could stand near someone's wife and the man can even be smiling and waving to you. But now you are trying to give a tract. You are standing near the wife. The man comes and says yes. And they've been married for 30 years. Says, it doesn't matter. This generation is very... What are you doing near my wife? Is God helping us? So if we do not understand the generation we are sent to, do you know why... When the gospel started, notice that Jesus stopped them from going to the Gentiles. There was an understanding the Gentiles had that would not allow them to appreciate the gospel at its infancy. So he said, go only to the lost tribe of Israel. Because Christianity was an offshoot from Judaism, and the Jews had already been accustomed to Moses and all this. So it would be easy to introduce Jesus through the messianic prophecies and all of the things that the prophet said. He said, don't go to the Gentiles. It was until Acts chapter 10, that was the first encounter in the house of Cornelius. That's when the Gentiles were introduced. 10 chapters into Acts, God had been doing a lot of things. David served his generation. I want to share with you this morning very briefly two keys. And we'll trust God to just pray. I'll be as brief as possible. That can help us to be able to represent the purposes of the kingdom effectively in this generation. Doesn't matter whether you are called into ministry, you are called into business, you are called into whatever area of life. I truly desire that God helps us to be successful, and that we are not only, the Bible talks about God giving us all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. Say after me, life, godliness. One more time, life, godliness. There are things that pertain unto godliness, your spiritual work, character, your walk with God. God granted us grace to examine that extensively yesterday. But there are things that pertain unto life, your influence, the continuity of your business, the continuity of your career. Are we together? The ability to be able to use the grace and the gift of God resident within you to influence a generation positively. Our assignment and our job description as a corporate people is not a mystery. It's not a mystery left in the pocket of one apostle or one prophet. No. When we come as men of God, we only help people to understand. The assignment is defined. Are we together? The Bible says, go ye into. He never said, go ye around. Enter a system with an ideology. Enter a system with an anointing. And begin to influence that system. Notice something. Please follow me this morning. Did you notice that in the temptation of Jesus, when you read Matthew chapter 3, chapter 4, talks about Jesus coming out of the water. Jesus went to fast. Are we together? For 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan was waiting for him. I shared it during our fasting and prayer. There are some fasts that don't drive Satan. They bring him. Jesus is fasting. But the context of that fasting is to impact a generation. And Satan says, this one, I'm not going. I'm waiting for you. Finish and meet me. And Jesus finishes and gets the first person he sees after his fasting. Satan. The word with fasting on top, full of the Holy Ghost, didn't drive Satan. Listen, Satan is standing there. You thought you'll be shaking. Jesus, after fasting, said, Jesus, so you are done? All right, let me talk to you. I've been waiting patiently. If you are the Son of God, he waited for 40 days, and the first question is, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus says, it is written, etc., etc. Then he says, your attention is not on food. Your will is to do the assignment. So let's switch to the temptation that relates to your assignment. The Bible says he took him. He said, come. Can you imagine? Satan grabs the hand of your Jesus and says, follow me. And Jesus didn't say, Satan. Because until then, he was the God of this system, cosmos. Held the hands of Jesus. The Bible says he took him to a high mountain. Are we Bible students? And the Bible said something. He showed him the glories. The glories of the whole world in a moment. And said, Jesus, if your agenda is to be fulfilled, all these spheres of influence must submit to your ideologies. And I own them. Let's negotiate. Why make things difficult? Satan did not take him to the people on the streets. Satan took him to the spheres of influence and said, the people on the street are at the mercy of these systems. So let's walk on the systems. And Jesus looks at him, resists him again, and then he runs away. Notice what he's saying, that the kings of the earth, the kings that sit in government and all the strata of human existence, they were elected there by Satan. So Satan does not rule the world by ruling directly. He rules the world by having boys. You know how politicians do? The day you mess up, you are down, and another person comes. The purposes of God for a generation is at risk until God finds people who are not just evangelical but influential. Two keys that must bring kingdom advance: a sense of evangelism and a sense of influence. Never allow anyone in this generation make you believe that influence is demonic. No. Influence is the only way to rise to a position where you can compel a generation to buy into your ideologies without using force. Are we together? The opposite of influence is cruelty, the kind we have in some governmental systems around the world. I'm blessed every time I hear people testify, I listen to apostles' message and did this and that and that. I'm not necessarily blessed because I'm the apostle they're talking about. I'm blessed because there is a system God has built to be able to influence and mentor a generation that is bigger than a man. Are we together? He took him to an exceeding high mountain and said, look, I will influence this system. I will make sure that I manipulate this system against you. You are not going to listen to me. Jesus said, I will not. He said, go. He started manipulating the scribes. He owned the religious system. Satan owned the religious system. Listen to the discussion that happened among the men of God of that generation. Not let's love God, let the sheep find God. He said, this guy is threatening our relevance. He's coming with another ideology with signs and wonders. Look, the whole city is running after him. Let's find something to destroy him. This is discussed in the church. Are we together? You now go into the palace of Herod and Caesar. Guess what is there? Satan is adequately represented there. Then on the street, prostitutes everywhere. Satan adequately represented there. Then the poverty and the languish on the people. You know what? It makes people masses. When they caught a woman, they were carrying stones and moving around. Visionless people. And they came to Jesus. This and that happened. And Jesus saw an entire system under siege. Listen to me. Islam today is the fastest growing religion in Europe. They have not organized one stadium crusade. Not one. Not one. You will never see a gathering of them. In fact, if you find that kind of gathering, it will be in Mecca and Medina, and then you also find it in Indonesia. You don't find the Gulf nations and the Islamic State are small, yet they are wielding a dimension of influence. Very soon you will find a Muslim come to contest for the prime minister position and all of that, and they sit down, and very soon they will convert everywhere. Look at them breaking down churches in Palestine and turning them into mosques. You know what we are doing in church? We are just believing that one day God will come and just try to clear up everything. It says you are the light of cosmos, the world, the social system. It says you are a city on a hill that has been set, it cannot be hidden. Please listen very carefully. Our generation needs to passionately pursue influence. If we want to remain relevant and we want to advocate for God, this is a generation where you, when you have no influence, you have no voice. Please write it down. As a man of God, you have no influence, you have no voice. As a businessman, you have no influence, you have no voice. As a career person, you have no influence, you have no voice. Your influence is your pass into the gates of relevance for this generation. It is true. It's not some carnal pursuit for self-aggrandizement. That's not what we're talking about. A passion to see Christ represented adequately. Otherwise, the purposes of the kingdom will suffer as though God lied. Have you noticed the resentment that the millennials have for the things of God? There are hardly young children of that age now. Do you know they don't have the apostolic and prophetic voices within that age? It is us that are still stooping down. That age range, they are hardly, even parents that are born again, their millennial children don't know God, they don't love God. You meet those kids and talk about God, they look at you with sarcasm. As young as you look, they say, ah, you're already old. What Android device? Ah, now you are talking. It's a lie. We need to drum God into that generation. They come to church and sit on cars outside. Just lick ice cream and listen to the man of God and analyze the ones they listen to. Something is wrong. Because Satan studies a generation and sees whether there is already a formation of an apostolic community to preserve that generation. If he does not find any of such kind of formation, then he is invited. Once upon a time, the West, every generation had men and women, but there was a generation that did not have advocates. And Satan said, okay, let me give up on these old parents who will never backslide. No hope of backsliding. And let me grow with their children. The children today are the governors. The children today are the presidents. Our generation will not disappoint God. But until we know how things are done, until we know how things are done. Gone are the days you can look at a program that you feel is not healthy for your child and off it because there is one central television. When daddy offs it, go to bed. But right now you off it, he switches it back on his phone. You don't mind that old man. He doesn't even know that there's something like this. It's clearer and better. Are we together? Imagine how you can relate with someone you don't know. There's an advantage to it. And become friends and allow that person to mentor you so much. It used to be parents and teachers. They were the chief mentors of children. But right now, an average child has at least 1,000 mentors. You say, love God. And then someone who asks a question, they told me to love God. What do you think? Enter. The person replies back, rubbish. Rubbish? Yes, sir. I will work your visa and bring you down and we'll enjoy life. And the child said, it's a deal. And you don't know where the spirit of stubbornness was transferred. You see a quality that was not in you, but in your child. And David served his generation. And the challenge right now, and I say it with all due respect and honor, instead of we men of God to align a generation, we are finding out that, look, if I continue to stand this way, money will not reach me, or this will not. So I rather quietly bend. Compromise is a devilish spirit. We must be unbending and we must insist that Christ be represented. Two keys. Are we ready? Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Say it, in the name of Jesus. I receive grace for kingdom influence. Say again, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace for kingdom influence. Imagine that you had the grace to preach to the governor, maybe not of Lagos, of any state where you are found. Imagine that the governor of the state not only listened to you as one of the voices, but took your voice as the voice of God over his life. Imagine Egypt without Joseph. Imagine Babylon without Daniel. Imagine Nigeria without us. You see that? Nigeria without us is a mess. I say it without fear or favor. Don't mind the pride of men. Human beings are used to pride even when they are confused. So don't mind what you see happening. We are human beings, except the mercy of God comes in, they will be arrogant even in hellfire. See, I mean, everything is under control. We are truly the light. Are we together? Two keys. If you want to be relevant and you want this generation to hear you, there are two keys you need. Number one, blessed be the name of the Lord. You must engage the power of a transformed mind. Please write it down. Please write it down, and I want you to listen to me carefully. You want to be relevant to serve the purposes of this generation, you must You must rise to a level of thinking that is so refined by the word of God. The Bible calls it a transformed mind. The law of the mind is a key that we must learn if we want to be relevant. Not just the anointing, not just prayer, not just fasting. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me give us a few scriptures. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I will continue to drum the issue of mindsets because it is the key. Listen carefully. Many believers, they are born again, our spirits are alive, but our minds are dead. And we will never be relevant in a generation where we are not alive in our mind. In fact, the Bible says that it is with our mind that we serve the Lord. Our minds. A generation that is mentally depraved will not be relevant. You will never be able to communicate kingdom relevance in this generation when you are mentally depraved. And I'm not just, when I talk of mental transformation, I'm not just talking of passing through the 6-3-3-4 system. Many of you already have, but we are still victims of that limitation. There is a siege. In fact, the attack of Satan is such that he blinds the minds of people. He doesn't have to tie your legs. He just ties your mind and you are bound. Are we together? Read with me, it's projected. The Bible says, for as he thinketh, just the A part, for as he thinketh, the summation of your perspectives, your viewpoints, not just your way of reasoning, it's more than that. Most of us here, and with all due respect and honor, I come from the Middle Belt, what you call the North. A number of us here come from the South, East, South, South. We come from different cultures. Listen carefully. And all of those cultures advocate a way of life. Are we together? There are dimensions to culture that are very fruitful because they encourage empathy, respect, and all of that. But there are dangerous antichrist dimensions, mindsets. Are we together? That spring from our different cultural experiences. Irresponsibility, pride. Are we together now? Unseriousness. Entitlement mentality. All of these things, most of us receive them from culture. And if you want to influence a generation, then you must have the fortitude to be humble enough until God transforms you so that you look like a citizen of the kingdom, not a descendant of your culture. For the sake of sociological identification, yes, I come from A and B, but for the purpose of influencing a generation, you must look like the kingdom you represent. There are many people who are not kingdom-minded enough to mentor a generation. Our cultural biases still eat into our decisions. Our cultural biases still become the platform upon which we want to be relevant. It wouldn't happen that way. The law of the mind. We must allow ourselves to be transformed. Our experiences have been part of the systems that built our mindset. Many of us have, you've heard me say it again and again, and I will continue to drum it because it's important. Let me give you an example. I think it was Mommy Oje, my dear mommy. We were sharing something very briefly yesterday. Please come, sir. Stand here, Sam. Stand here, doctor. Watch this. Let's assume that this gentleman, God forbid, Sam, I love you, God forbid. Let's assume that he's an armed robber, threatening people at every highway. Are we together? Let's assume this gentleman, well, let's not assume, he really is. He's a doctor. Are we together? Responsible doctor, man of God, and everything. Are we together? Now, watch this. Carry a gun and shoot two of them. Are we together? They are lying down dead now. Are we together? Do you call this an armed robber dead body? You call it a what? Dead body. Do you call this a doctor dead body? So who was really the doctor? And who was the armed robber? Was it the body? Who is really apostle? This? The construction of your understanding is you, not your body. You can do all kinds of things to your body which is relevant and let this old man remain, and you are still the you of before. When God finds people, listen, when God finds people, he doesn't just save them, he exposes them to the truth that leads them to a higher dimension, a higher viewpoint in life. And let me tell you this, transformation has nothing to do necessarily with geographic location. The advantage of geography is exposure. It exposes you to the opportunities that stimulate a need for transformation, but doesn't in themselves bring transformation. Are we listening this morning? So this gentleman, all of a sudden, he's dead. And then this body, although a doctor, you can't wake this body and say, please, body, treat me. It's gone. So the doctor was not the person. The doctor was the mindset. Did they ever give you a new cloth when you passed through the university? Did your lecturer ever touch your cloth and say, remove your own and wear my own? Did he even ever touch you? He kept speaking through your ears to your mind. And after a few years, they gave your mind a degree. It's just that it's your hand that held it. That's why those who came and were mad, although their hands were still there, they couldn't receive it too, because something happened to them. Have you seen an intelligent person, sometimes even a professor, all of a sudden begin to lose sanity because of some kind of ailment? Are we together? And that man sits helpless. Yet that was someone, professor par excellence. What happened? His hands healthy, something happened to his mind. We have received many miracles. The miracle our generation needs is the miracle of the mind. We think the greatest miracle is just rising up from wheelchair. And I don't trivialize. I know many of us are trusting God. But let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. You can lift a man from the wheelchair. You can open a blind eye. You can open a deaf ear and leave that man. He goes back. His situation remains the same. Because you treated every other condition and left his mind. Lay your hands on your head and prophesy in 1 minute. Lord, I'm tired of this level. I need a miracle. I am where I am, in spite of the fact that I am in Lagos, in spite of the fact that I am in a place of abundance. There is something about my perception. Spirit of the living God, this morning, arise over my mind. Arise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at this. Now, Sam, come. Let's assume Sam is Emeka's father. Are we together? Emeka turns to Sam and says, Daddy, you are a wicked man. Now, watch this. Your dad has gone to be with the Lord. And you look at that innocent body you once called wicked. And you hold it there. The body can no longer slap you. So, who was the wicked man? Talk to me, please. Who made the hand rise to slap you? There was an understanding. There is no body that is really bad. It is a programming. Our bodies are executors of our mindsets. If I steal today, there is an understanding that sponsors that action. Your body is a slave. It executes whatever has been programmed there. So if I'm lazy today and I don't take my life serious, telling me, get up and move forward, is not the way. You are forcing the body to move. The body is a slave. Educate my mind. Change my viewpoint. Influence me, and something will make me stand up. In Ezekiel chapter 2, the Bible says he told someone that was lying down, stand up. But the person could not stand up. And then the Bible says the spirit entered me when he spake. An information with an anointing upon it came and caused me to stand. We don't just rise. Knowledge makes us rise. We don't just run away from trouble. And information makes us to see the danger of trouble. Is God speaking to us this morning? Mindset. Your life in leadership, in business, in ministry will be a reflection of your perceptions, a reflection of your ideologies, a reflection of your understanding. Brothers and sisters, please hear me. Understanding is a real miracle. And I thank God for the grace that He has given me to walk in the anointing and in the demonstration of the Spirit. Otherwise, you would have thought this message is just an excuse for not being anointed. It is a real message for a generation. If we are bankrupt in understanding, Satan can allow us to lift everyone from wheelchair. And then one person in a position of influence who had adjusted his mind enough will crush everything you are doing with one policy, with a dimension of influence. I have said it again and again, and it's my covenant with God that I will never pastor a people with no influence. Why choose influence or anointing when both are important? Are we together? You don't want somebody building a church somewhere and one person of influence just gets up, signs a paper, and while people are worshiping, you come and draw a tape around the church and tell everybody go out. And then we all stand and say, God, look at us. And God says, there is no advocate among all your members. There's no one in the law court. There's no one in the police station. God comes to the police station and starts searching which believer is there. And everybody who is there doesn't know God. And God says, you have tied my hand. I am mighty, but you're not understanding. Your generation has tied my hand. Let me tell you, I say this with all humility. God has given me friends everywhere because we live in a wicked world. Are we together? You hear me say it jokingly. When you touch me, both God and men will fight you. And it's important. Don't just say God will fight. There are times that God's hand is... When God's hand touches the earth, a man will continue as his hand. Cheap victories to be won, but many of us do not have representations of the purposes of God within the spheres of influence that we want to permeate. A church wants approval for a land and someone just sits down and rubbishes them for 6 years. They are fasting and praying, God answered from day one. Lack of influence prolonged the answer. Is God speaking to us? You need influence. You need influence. You need influence. It's important. You need influence. I have seen the relevance of influence in my own life. I've seen the relevance of influence to kingdom advance. I don't know which of the months now I'm going to University of Jos, and it's to the glory of God. I've been there. But for the first time, I know in a federal university that the vice chancellor of the university and the members of Senate are officially inviting a man of God for a crusade. Not the Christian bodies. The vice chancellor, members of Senate, the SUG, they came and said, we need a revival. We are inviting a man of God. Now, let me tell you, it's not because I'm the one who is being invited. It's a sign that God is moving. Now imagine that vice chancellor, I don't know what happened to him, I don't know where he listened to my message, but I thank God he did. You imagine the souls that will be saved. Who knows whether your wife will be part of that crusade that I'll be preaching in now. That while you are here fasting, God is using me to save your wife. See that? If you are born again and your wife is not saved, think of the delay it will cause to your life. You are ready, but destiny has delayed your breakthrough. Shout no way. We need influence. We need influence. We need a voice. Most believers only have a voice in their church. They don't have a voice in the world. is terrible. It's terrible. If all we have is a voice in the church and we do not have a voice in the world, we're in trouble. Mental transformation. I found this years ago, and I knew that although my background didn't bring so much advantage to my life, there had to be a way out. Many of us keep giving excuses. I was born from a family that is poor. Nobody knows that. I mean, look at Jesus. Nathanael looked at him and said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Jesus didn't even answer him. He said, "Just watch and see. You are talking all these things. I'm here to save the whole world." Some of you seated here, one day we will watch you on TV and be proud. How many of you, listen, how many of you have seen someone you know in a position of influence and how proud you are knowing, my God, you are not the one there, but you are just happy for the person. Except you are a wicked person, you should be happy for the person. Are we together? There's a statement that I made years ago. And a lot of people use it. I said, we will all be great. And the greater part is that information has reached here too. That the greater part is that we will all know ourselves. That military officer that gave his testimony yesterday, when someone wants to harass a businessman, he works in the stock exchange, someone wants to harass him, he calls that one. You want to waylay him, he calls another lawyer somewhere. You want to disturb him, he calls a governor. Who calls the chief of army staff? Come on now. You know that thing children do. I pass here? No way. The devil comes. I pass here? Let me try the business. I pass here? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms. Let me tell you, I truly believe our generation will rubbish Satan. The devil is in for a shot. Let me tell you this. The devil thinks all our generation will do is to hold crusades. He's in a shock. He won't stop on Sundays. Monday fire from Tuesday fire. Are we together? The devil wants to cheat a church anointed, but they don't have the money to complete the land, and so the ungodly landlord want to call them. But thank God there is a man who had God in the business fair who says, "What did I hear is happening to this church? How much? 100 million? What is that, please?" Because you know that the purpose is not just to buy cars. Thy kingdom come. And then he wants to call somebody above, and then it so happens that that person he wants to call, the ogre is your friend. I say, "Sir, let me call you in advance. They are going to call your subordinates to report me." And he says, "The call you are about to receive, don't pick it. The case has been settled." Listen, it looks like I'm joking, but this is how we will win. Every generation has a strategy for victory. Our strategy is not just crusades. The man who is talking to you is a man of God. It's the mistake pastors make. So they turn members to only preachers. And everybody in the church can preach. Everybody in the church can pray. People fight themselves for opportunities to share something because there is nothing else to do. Church of 1 hour, everybody wants to prophesy and say something, whereas there is a lot to be done. And then those who are not called into the fivefold ministry stand and feel so bad. Then they organize a 3 days fasting for themselves to just ease the guilt of not feeling among, whereas there is a seat for them. Is God speaking to us? These are all my people. Every one of these people you see are gospel artists themselves. Many of you have heard them. Many of you may have been to a few meetings around. Yes. It is my joy today to see all of them rise and go everywhere. I'm not the kind of man of God that is happy when everybody claps for me. As you are clapping, be rising too.
Because you see, as a leader, when you rise alone, if you want to fall, there's no one close to you to raise you. You rise alone and allow everybody down. So when the devil pushes you, no one is close to you to support you. Your support is based on those you have lifted, not based on your own rising. It is the church that lifts up the name of Jesus. It doesn't sing praise and worship to himself. Wisdom is justified by her children. Are we blessed this morning? A transformed mind. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what the limitations are. You must make up your mind that my mindset must change. Apostle, I'm even ashamed right now. The last thing I took before coming for this conference is Gary. I have a 300 naira trouser. I don't even, my phone, I have to use my hand to make sure that I see the writing. Don't worry. We live in a very fake society where people have empty heads and want to put things on their bodies. And the bankruptcy in their head keeps betraying what is on their body. Why fake what can be real? To be patient. Yes, I'm in one room. Rain is falling and dripping. And people say, oh, such a beautiful lady in one room. Yes, no problem. My God is alive. My mindset gets to my destiny, then brings my body along. Listen, anywhere your mind has not arrived, you will never be there. Where God has brought me today, my mind was there years ago. Wait to see where my mind is now. You will know tomorrow by where my body goes to. It's true. Say, I refuse to be small. Please say it convincingly. I refuse to be small. Remember, God has captured your heart. This is not some carnal motivation just for people who are, you know, the imbalance here is that if God does not capture your heart and you are hearing this kind of teaching, it will endorse carnality. Because you will say, I knew that it was not all about prayer. It is about prayer. It's just that in addition to prayer, these are the other auxiliary dimensions of the kingdom. It's a king-priest dimension. The priest remains in the secret place while the king legislates. The Bible says we have been made unto our God kings. Many of you have only been priests forever. You stay there, you are praying, you are fasting, but your throne is empty. No one is seated there. I'm under the shadow of your wings. What's the song? Your influence is all over me. Help me, David. I am under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. Under the shadow of your wings. Under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. Listen, your mind is an extraordinarily fertile garden. There is no barrenness with the mind. Whatever is planted there must grow. Not may grow, must grow. The mind is likened to a womb, except that a womb may just carry one child or twins or triplets. The mind has a minimum of a multiplied harvest. Minimum. The Bible says to guard your heart, your mind with all diligence. Listen. God is teaching Joshua the key to be successful. Please give us Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Look at God's formula. I thought you said, Joshua, you need to be careful. Joshua, be smart, dress well, make sure you don't insult anybody. Joshua chapter 1 and please verse 8. Listen what
what he said. So the moment he's talking about success, the first thing is this book. This book. The success is contained in a book. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but the system is work on your mind first. Sit down, meditate, meditate, meditate day and night. You want to be successful, don't go to the battlefront. Sit down, meditate, let your mind go to do the war. Meditate day and night. It says when that happens to you, it will cause you to observe, to do all that is written therein, all that is written therein. Then it says, then shall thou make your way, not God. Then I sent you your success through the blessing. You work it out to become your prosperity. You see that? Your prosperity, I don't just mean money. Your prosperity is you giving evidence to the blessing that is on you. God blesses you, but you prosper. Listen, when I found out, coming from the background I came from, when I found out that everybody on earth was just a body with a spirit inside, with a mindset that interfaces that body with the spirit, I just said, no, don't let anyone look down on you. The next time you see someone insulting you, don't look at the mouth. Just move a little higher than the mouth and look at the head that is talking. And you just calm down. And then you too, now show that you are reasoning well by letting something on your head come down to your mouth. And sometimes when it comes down, it will keep you silent. That's how you win. Are we together? Next time you see people try to look down on you, either because their hands are wearing a nice watch or they are wearing a nice suit, don't feel bad, don't mock them, but just look at them and with settled confidence say in your mind, it's too late, my mind already arrived there. Too late, too late, shabakato yada, too late. You know, when you understand this, you will not fear your results, because your mind already got there. If you get results by luck, you will be afraid, because it was given to you, not just by God. Men just brought you into it. It's dangerous to bless people above their mindset. They will only keep what is consistent with their mindset. Everything above it will be wasted. Is the Lord speaking to us this morning? You must contend for a transformed mind. Let me talk to you, ladies and gentlemen. Stop living a fake life. Don't go out of your way to go and borrow money to buy this, to look this way, to prove your faith is working. Faith is not foolishness. If it is faith, it will work. Be patient. Apostle, when I take my bath, do you know it's one Vaseline inside a leather that I use? No problem. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Use it with honor. While you allow your mind that doesn't need a visa to travel to go to your destiny, your mind goes to see your destiny and comes back and says, body, I arrived, let's go. And from that one room, listen, from that one room, it will surprise you. God stamps his visa on your life and says, go. And tomorrow people will say, do you know that man there? The one wearing that suit, you won't believe that we used to drink garri. Used to. When your mind was there, used to. But it traveled. And let me tell you something. Don't feel guilty for being successful. I need to encourage us. Where I come from, there are not very many people who are successful. And sometimes when you are successful and you are surrounded by people you are sympathetic to who have failed so much, you feel so guilty for being in that position, because you wish you could bring them up, but you know that it was a long journey for you to get there. They are unwilling to be transformed, but they want the result. Don't feel guilty for being successful. You will be surprised how many people will make you feel bad. Some of you are here now. Some of you traveled from other states. Is that true? To come and settle here. You will leave this place with an anointing now. Back to your workplaces. Listen. And then within 2 weeks, everything changes. And people say, what happened? Don't feel guilty. You paid the price. You paid the price. It's true. I wish I were not the one teaching this, but it's true. Transform your mind and it will transform your life. Don't sit down getting angry and being sarcastic. You just see people pass, you see a jeep pass and say, you see them? Our money. No. Even if the money were kept free, you wouldn't still get anything from it. So it's not yet your money until the word of God takes your mind there. It's not yet your opportunity. Say, I choose to be and stay transformed. One more time. Say, I choose to be and stay transformed. Just try what I'm teaching you now and watch what happens. Most of your success is not outside. Stay indoors. Stay indoors. Stay indoors. For many years in ministry, my people would want to go for external ministrations, and I stopped them. I said, no, you're not going. And they felt bad. Why are you robbing us? I said, no. I said, the way you are presented to the world matters. This world, you see, rewards you based on their first perception of you. When they perceive you as mediocre, you remain. Even when you change, they still remember the first you they met. So I said, stay. You are still being incubated and being built. Stay. Write songs that are word compliant. Edit your songs. Coordinate yourselves. Build yourselves both in anointing and vocal competence. And then when we shoot you like an arrow, no force of darkness will stop you. That's what they did. All the songs, most of the songs you hear us sing, was written by them. Are we together? The gentleman K Strings that sang that song that Nathaniel Bassi so likes, that's his music director. That's his head of department. You see, why am I telling you this? It pays to wait till you are ready. Premature exposure can destroy us, even in ministry. That you are anointed doesn't mean the green light has come. You can still receive the anointing and stay. When they finish anointing David, where did he go back to? You thought he would run and say, Saul, are you aware of what happened? He would have died like a chicken. He went back. Although with the anointing, he continued the training until the season of appearing. Say, my season is coming. Shout it, my season is coming. Let me speak to every man of God here. Be patient. There is a season. There is a season. Let me speak to every businessman here. Be patient. There is a season. There is a season. Walk your salvation now. Be proud while you are doing it. You can't eat turkey. Don't near a turkey. You can't afford it yet. Don't say, I'm a man of faith. I must eat it and run your whole life in turkey. I will be patient. If all I can eat today, it's just fish somewhere, no problem. Lord, I give you the glory. While I'm eating fish, my mind is eating turkey. No devil will stop my mouth from touching what my mind has to say. Number two, we're praying. The second key to be relevant in this generation is to be exceptionally valuable. Underline exceptional. Exceptionally valuable. The key to be relevant to minister Christ and to sustain influence. This is an extremely intelligent generation. Our generation is an intelligent generation. The dullest of us is still smart. Value.
value. Please listen to me. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, popular scripture and verse 16, the gift of a man, the gift of Apostle Joshua Selman, the gift of a genie, the gift of Mommy and Daddy Oje, are we together now? The gift of this and that and that. The Bible says your gift, you can't make room for yourself, but your gift is stronger than you. It can push what you cannot push. Your background may not be strong enough to make room, but your gift is stronger than your background. The gift of a man can make room. Number two, the gift of a man is also a lift in the school of destiny. It can lift you to come to a realm where sometimes you never believed you will be there. The gift of a man. Many of us are valuable, but we are not exceptionally valuable. Many pastors are anointed, but they are not exceptionally anointed. Many pastors have revelation, but you are not exceptionally deep in the word. Many musicians are anointed here and there. They are neither here nor there. Being lukewarm is the key to your anger in this generation. If you want to be angry, I give you a key. Just be lukewarm, and you will watch people you know pass you and wave you. You won't go back, but you won't go front either. You just stand there, pegged by mediocrity. It will take exceptional value. The kings that exist in our generation are proud people. It is not knowledge that beats them to their knees. It is exceptional value that Nebuchadnezzar can beat his chest and say, even in my pride, God is still God. Many business people are valuable, but they are not exceptional. Are we together? Many of us are exceptional in school, but you are not exceptional in life. The moment you hold your certificate, you just hibernate your intelligence. Let me tell you the truth, and I say this, God being my witness. Many of you know me to be an anointed man, and it's true, you are not lying. I thank God for his gift. But brothers and sisters, I am aware of every value that God has given me, and I sit down, I walk it out as if I have not seen one iota of influence. Every opportunity I have to minister, to stand before God's people, I'm not casual about it, because I realize that the opportunity you stand, even whilst you minister, is also a stepping stone for another dimension. He says, Dothan prospered because he prepared his ways before the Lord. We are not exceptional. I want to challenge us. The reason why many of us never rise is because we are born again, but we are too casual. Casual. Your products are casual. Your value is casual. Can you make cake? Yes, now. When did you learn? One, my sister used to make before and she taught me. But can you make cake for the governor? That's what you should be looking at. When you prepare to meet the kings, not the members of the palace, the kings. When you prepare in life, prepare to meet the kings. A day will come when I will meet with the presidents of nations, and I'll tell them, people, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. They won't say no, because those who follow me are the ones who keep the business in that nation alive. You may not like me, but you need what those who follow me carry, so you will listen. Ah! And I'm standing here only because you made a way. Hold on. Your value, your skill, your gift, your ability is your difference in life, and is what will create your rewards. Please write it down. Your value, which is a representation of your skill, your gift, your abilities, if and when developed and ministered with excellence, is what will make your difference. Your relevance in this generation is not based on your similarity, it's based on your difference. Your value
is what creates your difference and is what decides your rewards. Are we together? I love him, but there is something he can do that I cannot do. When I hold the mic and I sing, you will be blessed by my singing, but you will hope I finish fast so that I'll get to the word. But when he lifts up the mic and he begins to sing, you will want to roll here and keep him. It's his difference. It makes me need him, although I am great. You see why we all know ourselves, and we will all need ourselves, because although we are all up there, we are so different that there is no basis for competition. You see, brothers and sisters, there is no reason why you should be rewarded when somebody close to another person has exactly what you carry. Are we together? Let me say this with all humility, and again, I wish I were not the one saying this. But why would you travel from another city, another state? There are men of God there. But what brought you here? It's not an insult, it's the truth. Because there is a guarantee that you won't go back the same. It looks like it's pride, but it's true. Thou son of David, can you heal me? No, have mercy. The issue is your mercy. I know that once your mercy shines towards me, you will be, I will be healed, I will be blessed. I want you, whilst you're seated, all of you here, up, down, outside, vow a vow of destiny. I may not do everything, but there is something that I will stand out. My generation, you know how you brand a product, that I can look at you and know that when it comes, let me say something, I'm about to reveal something. Don't feel bad, don't swallow saliva. My dear mommy here, I mean, my mommy OJ here pampers me in a way and manner. Every time I come to Lagos, I feel like a son. I know I'm a man of God to you, but I mean, trust me. I mean, she pampers me like this, and she made a special smoothie for me alongside the team. And Isioma calls it 10 alive. It's a mystery. How many alive? Why should I buy 5 alive when my mother has made 10 alive? The day you make 11 alive, we will leave 5 alive and come to you. But for as long as yours is 1 alive, it makes sense to choose 10 alive. When your own becomes infinity alive, you monopolize a system and sit there, not as a demonic advocate. You not only become an influence, you become a gate. There are gatekeepers on earth. They are not just an influence. They are the gates to certain industries. They are not spirits. They are men. Without their voice, the gate cannot open. It's true. There are men who can turn your ministry alive just with a voice. Bless him. Before Oral Roberts went to be with the Lord, Benny Hinn was hugely in debt. He was trusting God to wipe, you know, some debt of a church program. They were going to hold a crusade. I think they needed maybe $10 million or so. And he had like 3 minutes to the end of the program. And then Oral Roberts came, and he didn't beat about the bush. You know, there were other guys that had come. They were jumping, so this, give this. And Oral Roberts just came and sat down, shaking and all of that. And he just held Benny. He says, "Dear people, Benny is in trouble. Help him. Help him." Before 2 days or 3 days, the money came. That man is not an influence. He's a gate. That's a message. Maybe we'll touch on that. There are gates. So in business, there are gates. God does not bypass them. He gives grace for them to like you. That's how you enter. But to think God will push them and give you... No! They have become gates. You can rant and say all power belongs to God. It's true. But to enter that sphere, if God wants to bless you, he will make the gatekeepers to like you. Many of us young people don't know this. We carry our zeal from Bible studies and run and stand forever in front of a gate. You are knocking and an unbeliever is there. Oh, who do you think you are? Get out. And God says no. It's an institution. There is a gate. The body of Jesus remained at the cross because a man didn't give permission for it. The Holy Ghost was there, but there was a man called Herod. When God wanted to move, he moved Joseph of Arimathea, who was a man of influence, to talk to Herod, a gatekeeper, and they allowed Jesus to go to the grave. Today we say he resurrected, but it took a man to say, I allow it. There are many of us seated here. You are gifted. That's why we need tonight's meeting. Because we need to pray. You don't cast the gates you lift up. There are demonic gates, but there are human gates. You cast demonic gates, favor with human gates is what you need. Not deliverance from them. If Femi Otedola comes now, I won't cast him away. Father, favor. Father, don't mind ignorant people who just talk in arrogance. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Yes, he does. But we must understand how that cattle gets to you. You don't need the cattle, you need the meat from it. And my goodness, that cattle there belongs, but is managed by people. Listen. I hope you are not just excited. We are going to pray. You have to learn this. These are success systems. It's not just prayer alone. There is a way this thing works. Never see a man of influence and resent him. Many of you think he's spiritual. You see people as these guys. But in the millions God gave them, is the building you saw in your vision that may never come to pass if you don't find favor with them. I had a vision, apostle. I saw the international headquarters of Koinonia. I saw it all over the world. And I will give you favor in Egypt with Pharaoh, a man that oppressed you for. Why didn't God say, I will cast Pharaoh away from you? You don't cast Pharaoh. You find favor. You cast the spirits that manipulate. Most of us keep casting men. You cast spirits and find favor with men, and you will move. A music group in South Africa, a Christian music group that is sponsored by MTN and other people. There are many gifted music ministers in this nation who have no regard for men and women of influence. Number one, they are not valuable. Number two, they have no regard for influence. Why is everybody greeting this man? What is special about him? God can bless me anyway. And you see them 10 years, you think it's a joke, 20 years, 21, 22, and counting until God steps in. In this kingdom, who likes you matters. Who hates you doesn't matter. But who likes you matters. When God is ready to bless you, he first makes you valuable, then gathers all the people who can bless you and bring you to their midst. And they look at you and say, who is this young man? Oh, hey, Jimmy. Ah, you are the one my son spoke about. You did a business meeting somewhere. I like you. Come, do something for me. You will think he's saying you should help him and wash his car. You will enter a door that you would never come out forever. You don't like what I'm saying? If you don't like what I'm saying, you will be poor, you will be broke, you will so suffer in this life. I'm telling you this. It's true. The job many of us are praying for, when God is ready to move, he will cause a man of God to manipulate things through prayer and the prophetic. But the dynamics of that operation is that there must be a gatekeeper somewhere, touched by God, who looks at you and says, what has been done to this man? Like Ahasuerus to Mordecai. When God was ready to shift things, God did not take sleep from all the poor people lying down outside. He came. Do you know there are some levels of influence? If you don't have, you can't know the program of God. Hold on. Who was giving the revelation of the famine in Egypt? Why didn't God give Joseph? He didn't have the power to do anything about it. So God gave a man the vision who had the wherewithal to do something, then brought a man who could solve it. There are many of us who have not seen God's blueprint, because whether he shows you or not, you can't do anything about it. But when you rise higher, then God can say, look, the devil wants to do something over Nigeria. And you say, really? Let me call A and B and C. Sometimes the bankruptcy of vision is a sign that your relevance is questionable in the realm of the spirit. It's not just that your prayer life is down. Why will God show you the whole thing? God cannot show you the vision of someone with no school fees, because it doesn't make you don't have the wherewithal to respond. The goal of revelation is that you do something about it. So the more you are sharpening your gift, all of a sudden you grow in the healing anointing. You see how your visions will change. You can be sitting and God can tell you, call this number 0703, because the person you are about to call, the grace to give that person a testimony has been given to you. Are we together? God can tell you, call a woman, mama somebody, I say, Lord, what for? He said, they are about to embarrass her. Her son is a pastor. They need 250,000. You can say, yes, Lord, and not doubt, because whether it's the devil you had, because there is the financial means to do it. Value. Let's pray. Let me just say this and we'll pray. Your value decides who pursues you. You can know how valuable you are by who is seeking you. The Bible says, all men seek for thee. That's what was said about Jesus. How many men? Yoruba, Igbo, Hausa, Americans, Europeans, Asians, all men. Regardless of tribal affiliation, you carry something that is not found on the earth. That's why tonight, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is that we're going to be anointing us. You see, go for what money cannot buy. Then what money cannot buy will buy what money can buy. Don't go. Listen, you are cheap if all you have is what money can buy. That means a rich man doesn't need you. You must go for what money cannot buy. You buy everything money can buy with what money cannot buy. Are you learning something? There are many things money cannot buy. Wisdom. There are many things money cannot buy. Integrity. There are many things money cannot buy. Character. There are many things money cannot buy. Godliness. There are many things money cannot buy. The anointing. The anointing is a commodity that no, the pride of no king will threaten. It's a commodity that is not affected by any economic devaluation on earth. When you are anointed, you are really a blessing. The worst is they will criticize you. But to ignore you, no sir. No sir. No sir. When you find the anointing, you found your bailout system out of the vicissitudes of life. It's true. Are we together? You have a degree. Congratulations. But there are many like you. So your job is threatened. Even if you are working, you must have something more. Because the person can be working until his own tribal person comes. And he says, what tribe are you? I am this. He says, sorry, we work with only Indians here. Just as an example. So, you shift. But I'm qualified. Sorry. Racial factors. But when you are anointed, even an unbeliever will look at you and say, I noticed when you went for vacation for 2 weeks, this company almost collapsed. Make sure you don't go anywhere again. We will give you 14 months salary extra by December to rest. But our success,
I found out that I thought all you do is IT, but I went to consult a herbalist and he said there is someone in that company like Laban. Laban kept looking at Jacob. He said, why am I suddenly prospering? And the diviner told him, if you let that man go, that's why he cheated him with one of his daughters. I'd rather give up my daughter than give up Laban. How may you be so priceless? Listen, when you become priceless, no amount adequately rewards you. Everything, including man's best, becomes a token. Are we together? Are you getting blessed with what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
A day will come, the kings of the earth will look at you and say, can it be a privilege to build the house of God for you? What is the budget? And you say, no, God is already faithful. Say, no, I will. It's an act of my will. Some of these prayers we pray is an attempt to replace other systems of the kingdom, including value. Hear me, generation of God's people. The generation that seeks the God of Jacob is also the generation that rises. Remember, he says, who shall ascend to the hill? There is a hill we must stand in. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? I made up my mind as a man of God that my relevance will not only be to Christians. It's terrible if I'm only useful on Sundays. What else do I do with my life? Ah, Pastor, how are you? See you on Sunday. There is no relevance. They have noted that you are the anointed from Monday to Saturday. So I will see you, sir. And then on Sunday, he comes and says, bless me. Ah, may you become as relevant as gold. Listen, let me tell you. All men will seek for you. And when they seek for you, you see. Listen, please sit down. There are three dimensions of the blessings of God, financially speaking, in the life of a man. I'm not talking about finances. We're going to pray. The first is called transactional wealth. That's what you get in exchange for your value, like a job, a business, whatever. The second dimension is called transformational wealth. That is the reward you get by changing lives. You don't sell anything, you give. The people bless you based on their perception of your value. Help me, Jimmy. I have given this example again and again. If this is, say, 100 naira, even if I'm a billionaire, I won't buy it 1,000 because it's fixed. I will give you 100,000 1,000 as a billionaire and ask you for 900 naira change. Because I'm a good manager. Bring the change. I will collect it. You see that? But if you bless me, I can take this and give you 1 million. I bless you based on the perception of your value to me. Not to the market, to me. Then the third dimension, thank you, sir. The third dimension is sovereign wealth. Wealth by the finger of God. There are times that God moves over a man according to the law of time and chance. Your day of visitation will always come. If you can maximize it, God can shift over your life in a way that will surprise you. I want us to be valuable. I don't want us to just serve the Lord and sit down and let all these distractions destroy our attention. That the next 10 years or so, we'll hear that some of you just establish a book outfit just for Bibles, and is free to all villages. Noiseless impact. There's no hotel you enter that you don't see a Green Gideon's International or Blue somewhere. I'm surprised sometimes when I find these Bibles. Just open the drawer and there it is. Are we together? That someone can sit down. Imagine that you are sponsoring children as many as this room. And you can look at them
and say, your parents never had an opportunity to make your life relevant, but I will help you. How can the government ignore you when you are doing this? When people come from abroad and they say, look, we are looking for some of the people who have impacted the lives of people. They don't like you, but they must call you because the internet is showing the results. They can't lie. They call you and they say, look, we are looking for ambassadors for UN, and we just decided that you would be one of them based on what you are doing. God has found a representative. When they say, let's inflate values and cheat people, you say, no, let's have conscience. You don't need to say, I'm born again. We must be governed by conscience, the fear of God, and a sense of posterity. And they withdraw. Christ glorified. I want to serve my generation with all my heart. I don't want to stand and waste time. I don't want you to just say, I'm a good preacher. That's not enough testimony. I don't want you to just say he's an anointed man. But let it be that a day will come that when we are all old, we will know ourselves, and before men and before God, we can hold ourselves. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving. That they say that about your life. I am so glad you came. Not that you went to school. Let me tell you this. Many of you send me text messages. You don't know how many hundreds of text messages I get per day, and maybe sometimes, frankly speaking, thousands. And that's why most of you think I don't reply, but I pray on them. The greatest testimonies are not the recharge cards and all of those alerts and things. Apostle, thank you for being born. When I see those things, I'm not saying you should write it, because for many people it comes from genuineness. If you do it now just because I said it, there's no life in it, so it won't bless me. Are we together? Thank you. Sam, I would have missed God, but for that song you wrote. You see that? We were about to separate as husband and wife, but then just when I was about to sign the divorce paper, I heard that song. I heard that song. We dominate through our seed. It's your seed speaking, not your child, your idea, your song. Our world today has become a better place because of songs by Don Moen. Because of many lives, SU have done something that forever, regardless of civilization, SU, FCS in the north, they have done things that have shaped people. Listen, it's one thing to have a great name, it's another thing to be great. If your name is greater than you, you are not great. God gives you a great name so that you hurry up and catch up with your name. When your name is greater than you, soon it will be obvious that you are not as great as your name. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she said, so you don't just have a great name. Half of this was not told me. At the end of my life, I don't just want it to be that I went around the nations of the world, met kings, did this, the broadcast, did this. No. That I can look at a generation and say, Lord, I may not have done everything, but thank you for the privilege that I become an inspiration, a face to a generation that represents hunger, that represents passion for God, and that brings people into the realm of encounter. You must find a theme for your life, for your generation. Are you ready to pray? I'd like you to bow your head this morning. We really are going to talk to the Lord. Because sincerely speaking, many of us are wasting time. You are now 31, 35. When Young and Yielded started, you were 24. Now you are 35, 36. There's nothing in your life that is influencing anyone. At this level, you are still thinking, oh God, should I have my shoe now? Listen. You don't make impact just thinking about tea and bread. Lord, give me shoes. Give me this. You must stop thinking programs and start thinking generational. If all you are thinking about is a program, as a man of God, let me do well in a program. You must think generational.
I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours forever. I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. My life is yours, is yours forever.
You are gifted, but you are going to cry because many of us, our abilities, listen, while you are praying now, many of you, the Lord is going to be speaking to you. I gave you a grace to rise. You've not, you started seeing it since 100 level. You've left it there. While you are praying, the Spirit of God will bring it to you and say, there is an anointing on that writing for the nations. There is an anointing on your catering for the nations. Lift your voice and cry. Lord, where is my place of rising? Where is my place of rising? Where is my place of rising? Relevance. Where is my place of relevance? Where is my place? Not every door is for you. Not every mountain is for you. There is a mountain incontestable where you will stand and reign and dominate. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen. How many of you know that Don Muen is a professional caterer?
Don Moen is a chef. But that was not where the anointing was speaking for him. Don Moen was a chef. I'm sure people have enjoyed the meal, but the generation does not remember it. Listen, you may have many gifts, but there is one that the grace of God will look at. Listen, many of you are multi-talented, but none has taken you outside. You are going to cry, Father, sue your life on that one thing. One thing is needful. That one thing. Are you praying? This is for your destiny. Come on, Lagos.
You came for a conference. Are we together? Father, position all those who need what you have given me and compel them to celebrate and reward it. Yes. Lift your voice and pray.
I give you. forces that limit men in your life and your family. I come as a game changer by the Spirit of God. Who art thou mounted before the Lord of men? The spirit that keep men small. I declare, lift your voice and pray. You can only have my God who has been called. For I call the name of the Lord. I call the name of the Lord. I will be from my Lord. I will be from my Lord. We're going to pray this one prayer, and you sing that song for me again.
Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Listen, there are many of us here who are praying. The devil has used your failure of yesterday to stop you from moving. You did business and failed, and every time you want to rise, he reminds you. Are we together? You got a job and they fired you. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Listen, it takes courage to dominate in this generation. There are many of us who are in ministry. God has called you, but just because you come from a family with no voice, God is saying you, small you. We are going to pray. I want you to stand and look at your destiny eyeball to eyeball. Listen, some of you are saying, Apostle, like they told Jesus, we have toiled all night. Everything I've done failed. Everything my family did failed. By the time you were failing, this anointing was not there. But he said, now, cast your net. I'd like you to prophesy, I'm coming again. I'm coming again. Lift your voice and cast the spirit of fear. I challenge fear. Fear of ministry failure. Fear of failure in business. Oh, I arrive again. Wiser, better. There is hope for a dream. Even if it be cut short, at the stand of water.
Told us to write your prayer request
A prayer request is an expectation. It's a token of your God. Are we together? I'd like you to write it. But I'm giving you another assignment this morning. This is for you. As you go back, I want you to sit down. Write down everything that constitutes an advantage in your life. No matter what it is, from your looks to your intelligence, don't let the devil tell you it's not relevant. Write it down. Are we together? I want you to write it down. You are also going to come with it. That one, you will not drop it. You will drop the prayer request. I'll pray on it here. But those gifts and abilities, I want to speak over it. Listen, you see, prophecy is powerful. Remember what I shared with you with Moses and Elijah, and you will be surprised to see what God. Aside from some of you who are students, there are some of you in business, there are some of you with documents, medical reports, whatever, just bring it. We'll speak over it here. Whatever has refused to move, write it and bring it. Let's see whether Satan has suddenly become so powerful that he will threaten God. Some of your loved ones that may not be able to make it, call them. Are you listening to me? Get recharge card. Mommy, write it down. Write it down. What is the issue? Uncompleted project. 10 years. Write it down. What is that? Barrenness, whatever years, write it down. Nobody rises. You're a pastor, 5 years, 2 members. What is that? Write it down. And tonight, that God will rend the heavens and breathe over these things. Come tonight expecting every single thing that poses a challenge in your life, that God will take it away. Are we together now? Praise the Lord. So please make sure you take out time to do that. Come early. I really don't know how tonight is going to be. We're discussing yesterday. I fully appreciate all those who have been helping. But please come around and be ready to make whatever sacrifices, even if it's space, everywhere is full. It's a conference. Are we together now? Please let your heart be open. Are we together? We'll have a little break. Many of you will just rest, refresh, and do some other things. Some of you, if I were you and there's nothing really serious to be done, you can just hang around, maybe eat, do something, and find a corner somewhere. Smuggle yourself somewhere and sit down. You can stand outside and you are just praying. Lord, this is the moment. Some of you are men of God. Some of you have seen me in dreams laying hands on you. This is the moment. Don't just casually come and say, I know it will happen. No. You sit down, you pray, you open your spirit. The devil wants to distract you. Satan, you are a liar. You focus your spirit and you listen to worship songs. No gisting and laughing. Did you see that guy? Did you see that lady smiling? Sit down and let something enter your life that this generation will thank you for. Lord, we give you praise for this morning. Let the name of the Lord be glorified. Wave your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah.
Do you listen to WIG Radio? It's the best online radio with all-round gospel content, and it's live 24/7. Gospel of Entrepreneurship, Achievers Airplane, Happy Hour, Kingdom Mandate, Praise and Passion. Let's talk about it. Morning Drive, Morning Gist, and lots more. On www.wigradio.com. WIG Radio, our programs are set to take you from where you are to where you ought to be. You can call into our programs on +234 816 444 5960 and interact with us via twitter.com/WIG Radio or facebook.com/WIG Radio. Download WIG Radio mobile app for Android, BlackBerry, and Apple devices from different stores online. WIG Radio, reaching the world with good news, transforming lives globally. Believe.